There's a note in the book right here that says, start here. Because after all that, I'm not sure where to start. So maybe St. Paul's letter to the Romans is a good place to start. What an amazing and beautiful encounter we've had these past few days for those of you who've been able to attend our liturgies beginning Holy Thursday and then yesterday afternoon with the Passion. What a beautiful outpouring of love and devotion from our parish community, clearly pursuing holiness, pursuing a deeper knowledge and love and understanding of the Father. The Father whose heart was so clearly on display with all of those readings, taking us all the way back to the beginning of creation. As we heard, what delicate and intricate care God our Father took when he weaved all of this together. And now with the grace of revelation, especially the revelation of Jesus Christ, we can look back at all of those episodes and in some way make it make sense. Have all of that attention, all of that detail was for each one of you, so that you could come to know Jesus Christ, that you could hear those questions, those yearnings, those desires of your heart, and no longer be lost in your pursuit of something somewhere, but you would know concretely exactly what the answer is to the deepest desires of your heart, to come to know Jesus Christ. In John's gospel, Jesus says that. He says, this is eternal life, that you come to know God the Father and the Son whom he sent, Jesus Christ. You are made for eternity. You are made to know Jesus Christ. And in the darkness in which we began this Holy Mass, reminds us of the darkness and the chaos that swirls in our hearts and in our minds and our lives when we allow anything else to answer that question. It's the same chaos and darkness that hovered the earth, into which God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. In very much the same way, the deacon carried the light of Christ into this dark church, and within a matter of moments, there was light. So much richness was poured forth before us as those scriptures were read and those psalms so beautifully sung. To know the ebb and flow of the human heart, of receiving their promise and not yet believing it, so allowing their hearts to be drawn away. The Father once again beckoning, calling, opening himself up. And time again, the Father being rejected. That sixth reading from Baruch, he's looking at the people who are lost in the north, no longer able to identify themselves as the chosen people because they've been so idolatrous. They've been so unfaithful, they've intermarried, and they've begun to worship these false and pagan gods. And Baruch says, how did you get here? What happened? Maybe some of you parents have come home to a disastrous kitchen, and your child is there playing in something from the cabinet that they found. Or maybe your dog got tired of being home alone and let you know by redoing your couch. What happened? But God the Father knew, just like you know, that it's your son playing in the flower or your dog tearing up the couch. And that's what God said. How did you get here? Because you didn't listen to me. You didn't follow my commandments. Like a student going to a teacher, how did I fail the test? Well, you didn't follow the instructions. You didn't study. You didn't do your homework. What do you expect? And this is what the Father's response to his children who were lost and broken. I gave you everything. I gave you everything. But yet it wasn't enough. Because maybe he hadn't given everything. And so that final reading from the Old Testament, when Ezekiel gives us that beautiful prophecy, the promise of the Father that he will take away our stony hearts and give us fleshy, natural hearts, that he will put his spirit within us, that he will write his law upon our hearts, that he would do something radically new. And that's what we celebrate tonight. Where finally he does give us enough. He does give us everything. Because he gives us his very son. The son that we all gathered with on Thursday night for that final Passover meal. Where he instituted the priesthood. Where he instituted the Holy Eucharist. And gave that young early church the command to go out and to love the world the way that God has loved them. The way that the son has loved them. Sacrificial love. Giving up everything, holding nothing back. This is the secret. This is the secret we see on display. When yesterday afternoon we saw the body of Christ dead on the cross. And one by one, or two by two, we came up and venerated that profound act of love. Many of us with tears in our eyes, overcome the amazing act of love. Which brings us to tonight and this beautiful encounter with God's mercy. God established, he orchestrated all of this really for 10 of our friends tonight who will become Catholic. Some who don't yet know the Lord in a real way. They have not yet been baptized. But in that amazing gift of God's grace, something touched their hearts at some point along the way. And they allowed that question, that yearning of their heart to bring him here to the Roman Catholic Church, but specifically to our parish family, where the love of Christ on display awakened this love inside of them, and they said, I want what you want. Because like the ladies in the gospel, they saw the empty tomb and they went to tell others. So many times we have done the same, you have done the same. You have seen the empty tomb, you have encountered the risen Lord, and you have told somebody. And now we have somebody's here tonight. And so I want that. And there are other friends who in some way have met the Lord in a different faith tradition. But as St. Paul teaches us, there's only one baptism. There's only one dying to ourselves in the waters of baptism and allowing Jesus Christ to raise us to new life. There's only one way that happens. And they're here this evening because that's not enough. They want it all. They want to partake in the body and blood of Christ. They want to receive the fullness, the Eucharistic reality. Because they believe those words of John chapter 6 where he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life. They want life. And for those of us who are practicing Catholics, what a beautiful witness they are to us. Just how easy it is for us to just kind of go through the motions sometimes. How easy it is for us to kind of just rest in the fact that we were raised in the faith. Not realizing the great courage it takes to walk away from what you've always known. to walk into what you know is true. Their witness should embolden us to go out and get more souls. That we have the one thing, the fullness of the only thing that will ever satisfy. The only thing that can penetrate the darkness and the chaos, the sin and the confusion of our lives, the only thing, Jesus Christ, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. We have it. It's been given to us. And we need to hear that call from the gospel to go out and share it. Go out and tell everyone, anyone, what you have seen. It seems like a long time ago, but we began this evening as a deacon carried the candle in. And then he sang that beautiful song about the candle. Because this isn't just a candle. It's so much more. I mean, we know as Catholics that God has chosen a sacramental system as a way to dispense his grace. That we see in the incarnation that God, whose pure spirit, took on human flesh. And in that act, we know that the things of this world have the power to let God's love and mercy be made known. And through the things of this world, we encounter God's mercy, his love, his grace. And so we have the seven sacraments, which are direct portals of grace. But there are other things in our world, in our lives, that help us have deeper faith, that show us more of God's love. And so this Paschal candle represents to us Christ's presence among in our midst. He's the light of the world. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. But in order for this candle to give off the light, it must die to itself. And so while it's very large now, but over the months to come, we'll see this candle shrink as day after day, week after week, it gives of itself so that we can have light. And so it's this great candle, this symbol of God's love, of the presence of Jesus in our community, that Deacon sang that song. And how many times did we hear him say, "This is the night"? There's something magnificent about our lives as Catholics who choose to live a life liturgically. This awesome power of suspension of time. God is timeless. There's no beginning, there's no end. He just is. And it's more than our brains can really comprehend, especially this late in the night after all of those readings. We're tired. But God is an eternal now. This is how he loves. Right now, in this moment. And so that moment of the Passover thousands of years ago, this is that night. That day when they went through the Red Sea, this is that day. That day when Ezekiel prophesied that we would get new hearts and a new spirit. The day when Jeremiah said, "I will give you a new covenant, the covenant of love written on your hearts." This is that day. This is the night. That God stops time for us so that we can enter into him, how and who he is, the eternal now of God. So we can experience that eternal love of the Father time and time again. Never having to wonder that we missed it, or our time has passed us by, or it's too late for me. But the Father's love is here. The Father's love is now. And this is what we come to celebrate every time we gather at the altar. The eternal presence of Jesus in our midst. What an amazing and beautiful gift this is. Did you catch in the gospel where the man said, "Why are you amazed? Don't be amazed"? It was an empty tomb. I saw my friend die 2 days, 3 days ago. Like, what do you mean, don't be amazed? He's not here. The reality of who and how God is should just be so normal for us that we're no longer amazed. That we're living in a radically new life, a resurrected life. The life that St. Paul said so beautifully in that final reading of the New Testament before the gospel. Are you unaware, my friends, that you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? And you were indeed buried with him. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in the newness of life. This is the promise that we've been given. Does our life reflect that? Do we know that we've been given the newness of life through the waters of baptism, in which first we died and then we're brought back to life? We know our old self was crucified and our sinful body might be done away with, so we might no longer be in slavery to sin. Is that true for you? Have you said goodbye to sin forever? Are you still choosing to live in this world, hoping that maybe one more time the things of this world might fulfill the promise that they did in the last 4,000 times, but maybe just one time more? Let me try it again. Christ is inviting you out of the darkness of that tomb tonight. Christ is inviting you to a radically new way of life. To say goodbye forever to the darkness of sin and death. To allow the light of Christ, the light of new life, to penetrate your stony heart. So that fleshy heart of Christ can be alive inside of you. I don't know why he said, don't be amazed, because that's pretty amazing. It's pretty incredible to think how much God loves us and what he's done for us and what he makes available for us today. For this is the night. This is the night that you've been set free. This is the night where you say goodbye to sin. This is the night where you say hello. Hi, Jesus. And Jesus says, welcome home. I've been waiting. This is the night that you are set free. This is the night where you come to life. Amen.